Welcome to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's Fiction Podcast. I'm EQMM's editor, Janet Hutchings. With the 4th of July just a few days away, we decided to feature an Independence Day story this month. It's by Michael Grimala, an award-winning feature and news writer for the Las Vegas Sun, who debuted as a fiction writer in our Department of First Stories last year. Here is the Massachusetts native reading his story, A Trunk Full of Illegal Fireworks, from the July-August 2021 issue of EQMM. Happy 4th of July to all of you.
The setting sun had reached that point where it stops being beautiful and starts being annoying, so I pulled down the windshield visor to shade my eyes. In the passenger seat, Lucas stirred but didn't wake. Sometime during the 30 minutes he had been asleep, his flip-flops had fallen from his toes and landed, one on top of the other on the passenger side floor of the Bonneville. He tucked his little feet up under his legs and curled into a ball. I hoped he would sleep the entire way back to Boston, just to make things easier. I slowed and pulled off the highway and into the dirt parking lot of Fantasy Fireworks. A billboard featuring a clown in a tuxedo, tipping his top hat, informed me this run-down roadside shed was the place where all your 4th of July fantasies come true. The car lurched a tiny bit as I put it into park, but Lucas remained still. I felt under my seat until I touched the handle of my revolver, just to make sure it was there in case I needed it. I almost never did. I got out as gently as I could and silently closed the door behind me. Fantasy Fireworks looked identical to at least 24 other shacks I'd passed on the same highway the day before as I made my way up to Concord. I could tell the payphone up front wouldn't work just from the look of it, but I tried anyway. When I got no dial tone, I continued on into the store. A gunpowder hit me, the smell of it stinging my eyes. You wouldn't confuse Fantasy Fireworks for Macy's when it came to in-store displays. Bare floodlights overhead, no windows, rough wooden crates stacked to the ceiling, some with pictures of fireworks printed on the outside, some just stenciled with words like night crawlers, jumping jacks, German grenades. The old man behind the counter wore an oversized red sweater, which seemed an odd choice for a sweat lodge in the middle of summer. "Mind if I use your phone, sir?" I said in that affable way that helped me fit in almost anywhere. "I'll buy something." "No need for that," he said, producing a telephone from beneath the counter. That's what made me so reliable on jobs like this. The trustworthy but forgettable face, indeterminate age range, complete lack of regional accent. I hardly ever drew a second glance. Took 7 rings before the call connected. "It's me," I said. "I'm on my way back." "It went well?" Hanratty said. "Yeah, everything's good here." "How much longer?" "Maybe an hour or two." "What about her?" "Not a problem," I said. "Never even saw her. Non-issue." Hanratty choked up on the other end. That's how I knew he was alone. If any of his goons had been in the room with him, he never would have shown emotion like that. This was personal, not business. "Bring him home." "Sure thing," I said. I hung up, thanked Red Sweater, and turned for the exit. Next stop, Boston. I'd close my case, no matter how much I hated it, and him, and this would all be finished. "Where's Mommy?" Lucas stood inside the entrance, head tilted to the side, his bare feet arched against the cheap linoleum floor. "Hey, slugger," I said, rolling with it. I crouched down to get on his level. "You had a good nap, huh? Is Mom here?" "No, kiddo. Just a little longer in the car and we'll be home." Lucas considered it and looked past me to a bundle of crates. "Can we do that?" he said, pointing to an illustration of jumping jacks in action, with yellow, green, and blue sparks being cast in all directions. With my back to Red Sweater, I had no way of telling whether the old man was observing us or if he had turned his attention to other store-related tasks. A scene with a tantruming child was the last thing I needed. "We sure can," I said. "Which one do you want?" Lucas's eyes stayed faithful to the jumping jacks. He beelined for the crate and grabbed a loose handful of red and black wax paper packages. I took the payload to the counter while maintaining muted body language. "Excellent choice," Red Sweater said to Lucas. Then he looked to me. "How old is he?" "Tell the man how old you are," I said. "I am 6 years old." "A fine age for jumping jacks," Red Sweater said. "And you beat the rush. We always sell out of these first. Very popular." "Oh, yeah?" I said in the broadest, most beige way possible. "Yep." Red Sweater flapped open a brown paper bag and placed the fireworks inside. "Say, you boys wouldn't happen to be from south of the border, would you?" "You mean Massachusetts?" "Yes, sir." only state in the Union that still enforces a total ban on the sale and possession of fireworks, and the local coppers take it as a serious offense. So it's my duty to suggest that you celebrate our nation's independence by lighting these on the New Hampshire side of the state line. The better side, if you will. He leaned over to our side of the counter and peered down at Lucas. Any farther south, and you and your dad will be bona fide outlaws, he said with a wink. He handed the bag to Lucas. The boy's eyes flared a mile wide. I wanted my own kid's eyes to shine like that. I grabbed the nearest crate and put the whole thing on the counter. These two, I said. It was a bad move. Impulsive. It made me memorable. The kind of mistake I'd never made, but the fourth was coming up, and we deserved a little happiness, too. Oh, boy, Red Sweater said. A couple of honest-to-goodness desperados. I paid cash, tossed the crate in the trunk, and got us back on the road. Lucas didn't say much, but his eyes stayed big as he turned over the paper sack in his hands, opening the top flap every few minutes to check on its precious contents. I switched on the radio and tuned it to the Sox game. We passed more firework stands as we hurtled south, toward Boston and Hanratty. It wasn't too late. I knew that. If I turned around at the next exit, I could get Lucas back to Concord before there was too much commotion. Hell, his mom might not have even reported him missing yet. I just needed to turn the wheel and physically do it. But that wasn't really an option, was it now? Hanratty had chosen me for this job for a reason. I owed him, and he had the leverage. I flipped the visor back up against the roof and drove on through the twilight. On the radio, Movon swung at a high fastball and missed. Strike three. Movon stinks, Lucas said. I laughed. Does he now? Mom says he always strikes out when we need a hit. He's the MVP of the league, I countered. The kid was too mesmerized by his package of firecrackers to respond. We passed the last exit on the New Hampshire side. As much as I now wanted to head back, to call the whole thing off, to tell his mom to pack a suitcase for the both of them and stop speaking with an accent and dress in neutral tones and never look back, I had kids of my own to think about. Hanratty didn't say it when he offered me the job, but he didn't have to. Find my wife, bring my son home. Or else. Took me 6 weeks to track her down. Turned out she hadn't gone far. She had a fine little house outside Concord, New Hampshire. The school looked tidy. Things seemed nice there. Blue lights in the rear view. Policeman, Lucas said, only it came out, policeman. He turned completely in his seat and stared out the back window. I maneuvered the Bonneville onto the shoulder and waited. The cruiser and I appeared to be the only two cars on the highway. What's he gonna do? Lucas said. Is that policeman for us? I think so, buddy. We'll be okay. Buckle your belt. Lucas latched his seatbelt and also took the opportunity to put on his flip-flops. As the officer approached in the side mirror, the solution became obvious. I needed to get caught. It was desperate, but it would work. If I intentionally betrayed Hanratty on this and returned the kid to his mom, that would be the end for me and mine. But if my mission were to be foiled, despite my best honest effort, during a routine traffic stop, perhaps, I'd go away for a while. A long time, actually. But even a killer like Hanratty wouldn't take that out on my family. As long as he didn't suspect me of throwing the game, they'd be okay. And maybe I'd be able to live with myself. Evening there, the officer said. Getting a little dark out here, wouldn't you say? It is, I said, not calling him sir. I couldn't make it obvious. Hanratty would get his hands on the police report eventually. Does this vehicle have functioning headlights? Yes, it does. Then I suggest you turn them on. Almost couldn't make your car. That is extremely dangerous on this stretch of highway. The officer leaned down to look through the driver's side window. And you've got some cargo there that I'm sure you want to protect. Lucas grinned at the policeman. Sorry about that, I said. I forgot to hit the switch. It was still light out when we got on the road. Now give me a ticket, I thought. Run my plates. Arrest me for the stolen car. Take the kid to the station. Find out I'm not his father, just some stranger who picked him up from school and started driving. I'd go to prison for kidnapping and more, but Lucas would go home to his mom and Hanratty would leave my boys out of it. The copper straightened and toed the gravel with his boot. It's all right, he said. I'm going to let you continue on with a verbal warning. Let's stay safe, okay? I needed to do something, anything that would give him reason. I didn't know how. The officer walked toward his cruiser. Lucas spun around to watch him retreat. I leaned out the window. "Excuse me," I half shouted. "I've got a trunk full of illegal fireworks." The officer looked back at me and chewed on it, puzzled. "Well," he said, "I appreciate the honesty, but you got another mile to go before they're illegal. Be sure to turn on your lamps, and I bet the Massachusetts Smokies will leave you be." The officer chuckled to himself as he slid behind the wheel of his New Hampshire Highway Patrol cruiser and pulled onto the road. He performed a U-turn through the median before heading north. Gave me a nod as he passed. I turned on the headlights but couldn't bring myself to put the car in gear. On the radio, John Valentin got a base hit to left field. Lucas rocked onto his knees and peeked out over the dashboard. "Where are we going?" he said.
A Trunk Full of Illegal Fireworks is copyrighted by Michael Grimala. Music for the podcast was obtained from purpleplanet.com. Mixing and editing were done by Kevin Wheeler and Jackie Sherbo. You can subscribe to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, where you'll find more stories like this one, by visiting our website at www.ellerycueenmysterymagazine.com.